It is Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, driven by Hyundai. We're The Fan Morning Show. Greg Giannotti, Paul Alexander, and Jim Colony. And the Pirates with the night off. But if you want to watch some baseball, then you flip over the MLB Network because they're carrying games now. They've got great programming over there. But they also have live games on the network. And tonight at 7 o'clock, you can watch Matt Vasgersian and the guy we're going to welcome in a second, John Smoltz, call Yankees and Rays. And on the Rivertown Hotline, a guy who you just hated to see come into a game if you were facing him, if you were a fan of a team that was facing the Braves, especially right in the pocket of his career where he was closing out games. He was just phenomenal. Future Hall of Famer, now doing a great job with his broadcasting career, and why not? He's been good at everything else. That's John Smoltz. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
First off, with this Pirates team, the staying power, do you see it? Can they compete for this division?
Well, I'm a firm believer anytime a team sticks around longer than what is expected or even their own expectations, they start believing that they do belong, and then they see that the strength of the Central, which teams have all had their issues, you just feel like you're going to be up there and deal with a chance to win all year. And for the first time in seems like forever, Pittsburgh is in a position to not only add a player, but probably do something they haven't done in a while, and that's not get rid of a player. And I think for the city, I think for the organization, it's got to be a long time coming. And I think for the fans, you know, they're just waiting to see. There may be a little bit of pessimism sitting there going, okay, when are they going to fold? But the pitching's strong, the defense and timely hitting is enough to get them in the position where they're in. I think it's good for baseball.
John, do you feel partially responsible for the complete undoing of a franchise considering what happened in 1992 and they never quite recovered? We have Francisco Cabrera flashbacks here. I would imagine maybe you have an occasional Joe Carter flashback.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the history of each organization can be lopped back to those 2 years where some greatest games ever played in the postseason history were between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Braves. And it's sad to see what's happened since 1992. No player or fan of baseball wants to see any kind of stretch that Pittsburgh has gone on. And, you know, what's been confusing to a baseball player is there has been real no direction from the draft picks to the sustainability of players and the ability to put some of that money that they're getting back into salaries. And, you know, now maybe you can see a little light in the tunnel. Some of the great talent that they've acquired is starting to pay off a little bit, and some of the moves they're making and is put them in position. You know, I mean, it's kind of like last year's San Diego Padres, one of the greatest stories ever in the last few years of baseball. Unfortunately, they couldn't hang on and couldn't score enough runs to get to the playoffs and do what San Francisco did, and that's basically shock the world with their pitching and score enough runs, timely hitting, to win the World Series.
Hey, John, have the Pirates, as they're constituted right now, going toward the trade deadline, have they reached the status where a guy like Carlos Beltran might, you know, if he's got his no-trade clause and you've got the usual heavy hitters that might be coming after him, but if the Pirates are also in that mix, have they reached the status that a guy like Beltran might say, hey, you know what, I wouldn't mind joining this team for the last couple months?
Well, they've reached the status where some players aren't going to have a choice if they get traded. But, you know, for really the situation that they're under, and nobody will know but themselves, the financial whereabouts that they may have to add a player and start using some of that strength and numbers to improve their chances to get to the playoffs, you know, certainly I hope that they're in position to do what they're needed to be done to get playoff baseball back in Pittsburgh.
It's a Fan Morning Show with John Smoltz on the Rivertown Hotline. You can watch him and Matt Vasgersian call the Yankees and Rays game at 7 o'clock, MLB Network. They're carrying games now on the MLB Network. And if you're not watching a game there, there's got so much other great programming and the Prime 9 and the lists and the, you know, the hot stove stuff in the offseason. MLB Network doing a great job. The turnaround with this staff, John, has been remarkable. Did you ever think that guys like Jeff Karstens, James McDonald, Charlie Morton could turn around their careers in 1 year, and it's seemingly because Joe Kerrigan went out and Ray Searidge came in?
Well, it is a great transition so far. I mean, I don't think anybody who knows anything about baseball could possibly see this coming this quick or this year. And you look at the shift of what some of these teams have done, and Pittsburgh was not in the, oh, you could see this coming category. They've had tremendous pitching. They've had a closer that's been virtually, you know, unbeatable, and timely hitting and defense in what really has been a shocking year. And you hope, as a baseball fan, it continues. I know I am. I'm hoping that Pittsburgh goes out and proves everybody wrong and changes the map or the plan of what they had for this year and possibly the next couple of years when they thought they really could compete.
John, I have to verify an urban legend. Someone told me that while you were in Pittsburgh one time, you went to Oakmont, played the tips, and fired a 67. Is that true?
You know what? I don't think 67. I know I had one round where I was thrilled to death. I want to say 69.
That's good enough. Mike, from the tips.
That's all right.
I think the one thing that in baseball, especially being afforded to play golf, I got one of the big four, Pine Valley, Marion, Oakmont. I'd always wanted to shoot par better on those golf courses and just got lucky enough one of those rounds to do it at all three, and as well as Augusta. And so, you know, Oakmont was one of my all-time favorites, still is. Pittsburgh, when we get a chance to come through there, any chance to go play Oakmont was a treat.
Well, that's awesome. I guess it's verified. 69 from the tips is unbelievable.
Who else could keep up with you? I know you guys, the matches that you guys had on that staff you were on back in the 90s, I guess, were pretty good. But who were some of the other guys that could actually keep up with you on the golf course, some of the other ball players?
Well, we had such a great staff, and every pitcher that we went through in that stretch, was whether it was Pete Smith, Steve Avery, Denny Nagel, Charlie Lee Brent, even Kevin Millwood learned how to play golf, Jason Marquis learned how to play golf. We were a group that understood what we had to do on the field and how we could be competitive and fun off the field, and they kept us fresh. And we always said we'd take on anybody in all of baseball and golf, not to mention, you know, what we were able to do on the field. So it was just the time of my life, and I know our life. We look back and go, it was an incredible, incredible run.
I have to ask you about closing, John. I thought one of the reasons you were so dangerous because all the pitches you could throw with your history of being a starter and then turning into a closer, and that's got to be tough for a hitter to deal with. But why is it that the greatest closer of all time can be so successful with one freaking pitch in Mariano Rivera?
Well, it's all about throwing strikes and being able to dominate with that strike and that pitch, and he has them. You know, when I think one of the advantages I had coming out of the game is they knew I wasn't going to walk them, and so it puts them on edge, and they got to attack a pitcher like Mariano. And you swing at pitches, you swing at his pitches, and I think the one thing that Mariano does that nobody else could and has done before is he can locate that one pitch where he wants to about 80 to 90% of the time, and that is a huge luxury that not a lot of guys have. And it's a devastating cutter. It's one of those things that if you're a switch hitter, I think you're going to see guys like Carlos Beltran, who says, look, I'm not going to get my bat broken every single time. I'm going to bat right-handed and give himself a chance. So the greatest closer that we'll ever see in the history of one organization who single-handedly is responsible for their opportunities to have won those four world championships in a five-year span. And when you've got him down there, he's the ultimate equalizer.
John, one more promotion here with the game tonight, the Yankees-Rays. How do you handicap that division ending up? Rays, of course, I mean, having a very good year, but eight games out. Who do you think wins that division in the end?
Well, in the end, I think Boston, unless they keep sustaining injuries, I think Boston is just too strong as a team to not be in either the wild card or the division. Tampa Bay has hung in there with their as long as they possibly can, and this stretch could end up undoing them, the stretch that they're currently on. You never say there's a must-win in July, but if Tampa Bay has any hopes of still competing in this division, which is Boston and New York is the headliners of it, they're going to have to find a way to beat one of the top pitchers in the game right now, and that's CC Sabathia. So for everything that Tampa, I guess, wasn't expected to do, they've done it as long as they have without the resources, without the manpower that they lost. And credit to Joe Maddon and the organization for trying to find ways with the financial package that they're dealing with to compete and play the game the way you have to play to win and execute.
John, thanks for the time. It was our pleasure, and we'll be watching tonight on the MLB Network.
You got it, guys.
All right, take care.
Thanks,
John.
Thanks, John.
Smoltz, one of the greats.
Oh.
Guy's just phenomenal. And, you know, watching him, you know, I was not a fan of the Atlanta Braves.
No.
Watching him pitch, it was just so frustrating, but you were just in awe of him, how good he was, whether he was starting games or coming in as a closer, just absolutely phenomenal. And then it all kind of ended quickly. And I remember when we went over to the Red Sox there towards the end.
Not
it was
good.
Yeah, but I mean, that happens. But
sure
the guy's a future Hall of Famer.
Especially for a guy that doesn't juice.
Right.
You know, the arm at his age, quit.
Future Hall of Famer.
And, how about this year? I was looking at his years. 96, 24-8 with 276 strikeouts, 55 walks, an ERA of 2.94.
Not bad. Not bad.